Aaron Biebelhauser is my guest in this hour. He has a brand new band, Wolfpen Branch. They have a brand new album, Long Hill to Climb. You're going to hear a cut from that. Then we'll get into our discussion with Aaron. First, you're going to hear their version of Darling Corey, which is one of the coolest updated versions I've ever heard. Let's listen to Darling Corey, then we'll get right in with our discussion with Aaron Biebelhauser. He has a brother named Adam. I haven't met Adam yet. They have another album together called Close Harmony. I'm going to meet with them in person. They're not that far away from where I'm seated geographically, and I'm pretty sure they're going to play games and call one. They're twins. I won't be able to tell them apart. This is Darling Corey. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard one of the coolest, most traditional, and then funky versions of Darling Corey I've ever heard. I love it. And it's from a band. I have a member of the band on the phone right now, a frequent guest on Unreal Bluegrass, Aaron Biebelhauser. The tune was from Wolfpen Branch, and the name of the album is, what, Long Hill to Climb?
That's right, man. Hey, yeah. Steve, it's good to be back with you.
It's always good. Aaron and I talk a lot and do other things, and sometimes we get together if we can figure out the right timing. And it's always nice to get the. You sent me two great pieces of music, the Wolfpen Branch, and we're going to talk later, not today, about the Biebelhauser Brothers album. It's an album with Aaron and a brother that looks a whole lot like him, named Adam.
Poor guy.
We'll get to that one. I think we're going to have to get together for that one, and we'll sit and talk about it and have lunch and then chat about it later. But so now, this Wolfpen Branch show, which I think is on your own label. Is it on Wolfpen Branch? How do people find it? We're going to talk about it a lot.
Yeah, completely independent release. We work with a booking agent and management folks, but we are not working with a label currently. So, yeah, independent music. We need you to listen. We need you to play it.
Absolutely. We were talking off the air a little bit about the diverse pool. What we just heard was Darling Corey, everybody knows that tune, I think. They don't necessarily know it at all the way you guys put it out there. It was pretty straightforward, and then the end of it gets a little funky sound, though, and I loved it.
I like to introduce it sometimes at shows and say we're playing a real traditional bluegrass song here that I learned from Flat and Scruggs live at Carnegie Hall album. and then play the most blasphemous, sacrilegious version of it possible.
Well, and then the ending is like, just so you remember, it started out pretty much straight ahead, full speed, Darling Corey, and then we added our own touch to it. The members of this band, there are writers in this band. You take a song from Tyler Childers. Well, of course there are. But, I mean, you take a song from Tyler Childers, also Tom Petty. But what I was curious about, you have members of the band, and I'll have you talk about all of them, but there is an Arthur Hancock the Fourth, but there's a song written by Arthur Hancock the Fourth and Arthur Hancock the Third.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, a dynamic duo, you might say.
Well, yeah. Tell me. So with that, starting off with that, tell me about the members of the band. One of them is your brother. No, Adam's not in this band. See, I got the other one.
Not this band, but the next record.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me about the band. Chris Schaus and you and Arthur Hancock the Fourth and Rowdy Puckett and Jeff Guernsey.
Rowdy Puckett and Jeff Guernsey, yeah.
Okay, well, we're...
Arthur Hancock and I worked together years ago. We were both members of another band from Kentucky called The Whoops.
Absolutely, yeah, I remember that. Great band.
The way that we met was that I was hired to replace him. He was going to duck out of that band at one time when he'd lost the ability to play the banjo. He's got a disorder in his hand called focal dystonia, a nerve problem.
Yes, it's called
him to play. Now he's playing guitar now instead of banjo.
It's called the musician's nightmare.
Definitely. And you hear about some banjo players getting it.
Tom Adams,
Eddie Adcock, and a few others. There's a guy in Kentucky here named Dave Cockrell. Yeah. He's a great banjo picker in Shelby County. But a lot of great pickers, and even like horn players get it too in their mouth, where you lose the ability, the nerve connections.
The signal's got getting through. The nerves are good, but it's an odd thing. Okay, so that explains that.
Anyway, that's how we met. I was actually hired to replace him as banjo picker and singer in that band, and we both got together in that band and decided that if I was working with him, I really wanted to only wanted to join the band if he was in the band, and he decided he would just as soon stay if I was going to be in the band. We hit it off that well, and then here years later we started a new band together when we were both out of work at the beginning of the pandemic, and we joined forces with Chris Schaus. Matter of fact, the band kind of started between Chris and Arthur together. And Chris was also a front man of a band from Kentucky known as the 23 String Band.
They were
a big deal too. They won the Rocky Grass Band Competition one
year. I've got music from them in my library here.
Yeah, they're great pickers too, from all over Kentucky. But they haven't. I guess they're kind of on a permanent hiatus now. But Chris is the mandolin player with Wolfpen Branch, and he's written, I think, three of the songs on the record are Chris's.
One of my favorite ones, we're going to play this as we're getting out of here, is Alone and Insincere, and I had stars by that, one that Chris wrote. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I'm just telling you, that's just a neat, catchy, bouncy tune, but I like the things that Chris has penned.
I'm glad we mentioned the 23 String Band, because it kind of does have that string band, sort of jug bandy vibe, as opposed to, like, you know, your typical bluegrass angles, you know. Mash.
Roddy
Puckett playing bass, also a guy that's, you know, no stranger to the Kentucky music scene. He's played all over the place with all kinds of bands, rock bands, bluegrass bands, you name it, but plays a few different instruments, plays guitar, plays bass, plays some mandolin, plays piano. He's all around talented guy, super super groovy bass player and singer, and then to round out the group, other than myself playing the banjo, is Jeff Gersey playing the fiddle, and he's been a hero to me and some of the members of the band for a long while, a couple of decades at least now. Jeff spent maybe 10 years or so on the road with Vince Gill during his heyday in the 90s, and played with Steve Warner, both during that era for the Grand Ole Opry stars.
He's got some chops.
Yeah, Jeff is an amazing player, utility player. Again, plays all the instruments better than all of us. You know, he's like the flat picker that Michael Cleveland calls to play on sessions and on guitar.
It's great. The musicianship is great. Like, everybody but Jeff, then, I think, sings. I got vocals from everybody you hit.
Ironically, Jeff's a great singer. He just doesn't sing much in this group, but he's an amazing singer as well. Can sing any of the harmony parts. If somebody's missing... from a gig or can't make it or sick or something, he automatically sings the other part. You know,
and
he's ready for it.
And I want to give credit to Katie Penn. You borrowed Katie Penn's fiddle on three tracks on this album, right?
Yes. This band has evolved in our short existence. We've only been a band for a couple of years, but during the beginning of that, Katie Penn was playing fiddle with us full time before Jeffrey came around. And Katie got busy playing with Alan Bybee in Grasstown.
That's right.
And she has another band in Kentucky she's playing with, too. And just got busy enough where we ended up switching to Jeff. But it's so good to have her on this record, too. She's such an instrumental part, literally and figuratively, of the band from its inception.
She has.
Glad she's included on this.
I love everything that she does, but I will say this to you. Of course, you're on stage with her if you're playing with her recording, but Katy Penn, I'm sure most of the people know of Katy Penn, but she has one of the strongest right hands, I think. It's just like boom.
Oh, yeah.
It just explodes off of the record, and when you're seeing her, it's like she's the master of that bow and the fiddle.
It's
I'm not saying it's loud, but, you know, it's just like, this is hers, and she's in control in her right hand. I just think it's so
very powerful.
So powerful. Absolutely. Sure. Let me talk to you a little bit about some of these tunes. Tyler Childers, right off the bat, Born Again. I mentioned you've taken songs from from within the band, and Tyler Childers, and then you also have a Tom Petty tune, which you do a nice version of, Square One. But have you guys come across Tyler Childers? Or played with him, or we know him, he's from Kentucky.
We used to work together. I mentioned the Wilkes earlier. Three of us in this band used to be members of the Wilkes at one time, traveling the road together, and we did support dates when he was in his real first year of breaking out. I think it was 2017 or so. But he we were doing some tour gigs with him and working with him. And matter of fact, Arthur was his roommate at one time. They shared a house together at some point.
Okay.
So, but yeah, they both own property in Eastern Kentucky and together, and they're actually adjacent properties. But we haven't got to hang out with him too much because he's been so busy. But we haven't been around him much. But his songs are relevant, and we wanted kind of bluegrass version. Think about this, Steve. You'll know another Kentucky artist that we all admire was J.D. Crowe.
Mm-hmm.
And think about J.D. Crowe's seminal Rounder 44 record that had songs that were new songs, relatively new songs at the time by relevant singer-songwriters in country music, like Ian Tyson and Gordon Lightfoot. And Rodney Crowell had written three songs on that record. So we're thinking, we're going to play our own music, but we're also going to play relevant music to our day that means something to us that we can kind of speak our own version of.
That's a great tune, and I'm glad you did. And what you bring up an interesting point. When I've talked to people about that famous New South album, which, set the world on fire for so many reasons, but I remember when it came out, and it was like, yes, the musicianship was unbelievable, but they were like, where are these songs coming from? There was a little bit of a, well, these aren't bluegrass songs, but boy, they are now. Now if you talk to people who think they know what bluegrass, they'll say, that's it right then. Well, when the time it came out, I loved it, you loved it, but it wasn't well received from that point of view as far as the songs that they were choosing from. It was kind of like the country gentleman going out or seldom seen, getting other artists and taking their songs in, and James Taylor and Gordon Lightfoot certainly. But so I think that's great that you're doing that. I enjoyed the take on that one. Let me ask you about this Rogers song. Let me skip down a little bit to Rogers song. That's when we get to 3 and 4, the Arthur Hancock 3 and the Arthur Hancock 4. First of all, who's 3 and 4 is in your band, but who's 3?
Arthur in the band is Arthur the 4th, of course. The 3rd would make logically follow that it's his dad. His dad is no stranger to the songwriting business either. I mean, that family has worked in the sort of thoroughbred racehorsing field for generations. But Arthur the 3rd.
I was going to let you miss that. I was going to let you make that mistake because I know I couldn't keep him straight. But so you did it first, and I can call him whatever I want to.
Exactly. Yeah. So Arthur the 3rd had a whole entire career in the music business as well, working, I believe, for Combine Records or Combine Publishing or somebody down there in the 1970s and 80s, I think, writing for country artists and such. He's had cuts done by some major artists, through the years. And so it's kind of, really cool to share co-writing with your dad. So Arthur and his dad got together and wrote this song. But the most important thing about this song is that it's about a real-life character.
I was going to ask
it's
you.
Really important.
I was going
really
to ask you. Go ahead. All right, then go.
You've seen, yeah. You've probably met him before, maybe at Festival of the Bluegrass or one of these festivals. But Roger is a huge patron of the arts. He's at a concert, I bet, 4 or 5 nights a week.
Mm.
He's always almost every string band or bluegrass-oriented show that comes to the Borough or to Clay City at the Meadow Green Music Park, these other venues and all the festivals in between as well. And he's just a super kind-hearted guy, super supportive of all the music surrounding him and his community, and he's a major part of the community. So Arthur and Arthur got together and wrote a song kind of paying homage to Roger's presence whenever we get to share our music. And it means a lot to us, so
and
cool to kind of enshrine that.
It is.
A song that sounds like an old bluegrass song.
It does. And it's about a guy who's a bluegrass guy. He's a bluegrass man. He's up all night. Exactly. He's on festivals. So that's neat.
We actually had, that song has two titles. Originally, they were going to call it Midnight Bluegrass Ramblin' Man. That's the hook line of the choral.
Yeah.
But while we were tracking it at Ricky Watson's studio, he knew Roger. He said, I like rock, all Roger songs. So when he types it into the, when he's, setting up the session there in the studio, he said, I'm going to call it Roger song. Y'all call it whatever you want. We kind of just decided then to change it to Roger song.
And that you're right.
Double down on our tribute to Roger. Roger Combs.
Okay. All right. So, and before that, then, like back to back with Arthur the the 4th. And Suwannee, which follows one we're going to talk about and play at the end, the Alone and Insincere, that's a whole different slower type. Because I will say that Roger's song, it sounds like a good hard-driving bluegrass song, and it is, but the tempo is such that it follows Suwannee, which follows that kind of bouncy little waltz of Alone and Insincere. But Suwannee is also written by one of your Arthurs.
Yeah, Arthur IV. Arthur plays guitar in Wolfpen Branch and does a lot of the lead singing in the band. He wrote that with his cousin. Actually, two family co-writes in this record. Arthur wrote that with his cousin, Kipper Worthington, great flat-pick and guitar player, lives in Nashville now. But they wrote that song together.
Okay, just think about this for a second. You got two guys who are writing songs, and they're writing bluegrass, country, southern songs. And one of them is named Arthur Hancock the IV.
Yeah.
And the other guy is Kipper Worthington. Now, do they sound like country songwriters, too? And listen, wouldn't that be something from, you know, I don't know, where they eat those little sandwiches on the plate or something, right? But those names, I think, it's a great song. I mean, it's a great song. It's just great. But I'm thinking, those are two of the, well, you know.
Aristocratic names.
That's, thank you. Thank you so much. That's exactly what it is. And I just assume that's what they are. But it's another good one. I want to talk about... let's back up to the Tom Petty tune, and I'm kind of bouncing all around, but you know how that's how I go. My mind bounces around. Square One, I think, is absolutely great version of that Tom Petty tune.
Great. Man, Roddy brought that song to the table, and he sings guitar out of it. He's just, it's such a little secret weapon. He doesn't sing all that much in this band, but it's just enough to sort of cleanse the palate of, like,
you know, a stronger bluegrass sounding voice. Aristocracy. You're going to clean the palate, and then we're going to have the third course. That's good. I like that. I'm going to borrow that.
So Roddy brought that one to the table. Being the least bluegrassy guy in our band, which is a compliment to him, you know, to his musicianship. He thinks way outside of the box. But he brings... you know, songs like that to the table, and it's really a special treat to hear such a meaningful delivery of a song, because lyrically, that song is just gorgeous.
I love that.
You know, the lyrics paired with Roddy's delivery of it and Jeff's fiddle playing, that ought to be enough to set you straight.
I like Nary, the tune before that, which is another one from Chris.
Yeah, that's sort of another sort of mountain bluegrass vibe. I mean, I guess more in the vein of the Stanley Brothers or Jimmy Martin and Sonny Mountain Boys kind of vibe. It's quite often the song that we close the show with when we play out live. It's energetic enough. There's a Kentucky reference in there.
Yeah.
And big, strong trio vocals, bluegrass harmony.
You know, and I don't want to pass it over the vocals. I'm talking to Aaron Bibblehauser about the new Wolfpen Branch, Long Hill to Climb. I don't want to gloss over the vocals. I like to know what bands, why they choose what they choose. I like it when they write within them, but they also think they look out and find other things. But the vocals throughout are just powerful. I mean, they're just great vocals. Exactly what you need to highlight the lyric and a melody. Yeah. You guys were able to do that.
Yeah, thanks. We got three big, loud singers. I mean, some of the biggest voices in the region, in Kentucky, for sure.
Yeah.
Singing and playing bluegrass together. And I'm lucky to get to sing with these guys because I came up in the bluegrass scene singing with my twin brother, and it was very competitive. So naturally, I lean into that big, you know, belting voice. And so I'm lucky to get paired up with Chris and Arthur, who are both phenomenally
great,
powerful vocalists as well.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say we have a unique sort of style with pay close attention on these songs, especially like Long Hill to Climb, the opening track, and then Burning the Midnight Oil. The songs that I'm singing the lead on, when the choruses come around, Chris sings the lead still, and I jump down to the baritone part. And Arthur sings the high part. And that's sort of the trio vocal that we sort of lean toward as a default. We don't always stick to it, but you'll notice on Born Again, you know, Arthur sings the lead parts when they're solo lines, but then, you know, we break back out into that harmony, that same sort of arrangement. A few different songs
like that. Yeah, okay. All right, I get it. Works well.
It's a lot of fun.
It works well. So as my thumb is moving up the back of the CD, as we're talking about Nary, and then right in front of the next tune up there is Burning the Midnight Oil, and then I want you to introduce Then I'm Gone, which is the fifth cut on. Then we'll play that for the audience. I'll come back and talk to you a little bit more.
So this is another song that Arthur wrote. He wrote this one all by himself. No family involved.
no threes and fours, just ones.
it's a really emotional sort of song. It's amazing how his delivery of it is just is beautiful. But it comes from sort of a darker place than most bluegrass songs. Well, a lot of bluegrass songs come from a dark place, I guess. But it's a beautiful song, sort of contemplating your own fate or your own mortality and your own existence and the control that you have over some of those things, maybe letting go of some of that control too. But Arthur delivers it really beautifully, you know. And I'd say the only other thing to say about it, other than that, is that Jeff Jersey just knocks my socks off when he comes in with the fiddle part.
Okay. Well, that's a great introduction. Let's play Then I'm Gone. It's on the Wolfpin Branch brand new album, Long Hill to Climb. And you got the perfect introduction from Aaron. We'll play that, and I'll come back and talk to Aaron Bibblehouse just a little more. Bibblehauser. There it is. I like that too. I had Stars by that. As I listen to these things all day, I change around. And you've heard me talk about this before. Some of my favorites, and I move them around. I had Marks All Over Roger's song because I thought it was just a neat. And Nary, and also Then I'm Gone. And I also really like the version of Don't Have a Clue. I like your tune, Don't Have a Clue, which is also written by Chris. So the point I'm making is this. We've talked, bounced around a lot about all the different styles that are in here and all the different sources of music that Wolfpin Branch brings in. And it's not here. Let me just say this. My opinion doesn't mean anything. You're not trying to be different just to be different. Say we're varied on the album. You're just pulling in different kinds of music that you like and doing it the way you want to do it. I mean, is that a fair statement?
Totally a fair statement. Some of my biggest heroes in the bluegrass world were the Dillards. And I remember reading the back of one of their albums. It was a very early album. Mitch Jane, the bass player and the primary lyricist for that band for many years, was quoted on the back of there as basically kind of presenting two options. If you want to go make music in this sort of genre, you can either be in one camp that's trying to recreate what the original version of the story was, or you can do what comes naturally to you. And he said, we always lean toward the latter, doing what comes naturally. So it was very inspiring to me early on to maybe not, you know, don't try to be different just to be different. Don't try to push the envelope just to be progressive for progress's sake.
Because
but you do what comes naturally and don't be closed in. Don't be handcuffed to the traditions too tight.
And the thing is, if you're just doing it to be different, it's not going to work because you're going through it to say we want to make this one different. But if it's something that you're really doing, then it'll work. But if you're just saying, let's do a song so it'll be different, it's never going to work.
Totally.
And I think this album.
Think of what bluegrass music would have been like if Bill Monroe never broke any rules and started the thing to begin with.
I know. That's what people don't seem to remember. I mean, the Osborne Brothers had pianos, electric Sonny had an electric banjo, and they should be revered, but they changed everything all the time. And so you got to change.
Bluegrass music Hall of Famers, and they were Grand Ole Opry stars at the same time.
Right, that's right. Hey, where
So
Wolfpin Branch, are you guys, do you have a website? I think if they just plugged in Wolfpin Branch.
We do, Wolfpin Branch. They can find it at wolfpinbranchmusic.com, I think is the handle, but if they search anywhere for Wolfpin Branch, bluegrass music, you're going to end up finding it. But
the album, I guess, is on there. Do you have dates lined up already for the upcoming year?
Yeah, we've got some cool dates around the region this summer, including Spirit of the Bluegrass, which is coming back to the Horse Park.
Great.
And a handful of other dates. Some of them I can't announce yet, but there's some exciting other festivals around the region. And tour dates, and we're supporting our record as much as we can, hustling around.
It's great. This is great. I'm so glad you sent it to me. And then, like I said, I have right here under my hand Close Harmony from the Bibelhauser Brothers. We're going to get into that one later. We're going to talk about that
too,
with your brother Adam. That'll be fun. So it's a great album. Aaron, I always enjoy just chatting with you about anything, and if you have new music, that's always great. If not, I'm just happy to meet and chat with you somewhere. But
same here. Yeah. I'm ready to hop in the car and come up and
come on up, go to the Thai restaurant or do whatever.
I should have called you. I was just up there. I need to come. Yeah, the Thai restaurant.
Yeah, that's right.
Too,
this,
yeah.
The listeners have to know this too. If you go into an Asian, a Thai, Chinese, where they'll say, "What hotness level do you want?" And the one that we go to goes from 1 to 10. So I get, 7 or 8. I'm feeling pretty bold. And Aaron says, how about like a 17 or an 18? I mean, you went off, you buried the needle on their hotness scale.
It was good.
And it was like, man, I could feel the heat from the other side of the table. I don't mean temperature, just like, whoosh, buried it. That was fun. That's where we got to go again. But so we've talked a lot about Alone and Insincere, which is another Chris Shouse song. So you want to do an introduction to that off of Wolfpin Branch, Long Hill to Climb, and then I'll let you go, and then we'll scheme and plan to get you and your brother Adam, or we'll meet somewhere and talk about the
totally.
Yeah, okay. So let's do an intro then for that one, Alone and Insincere. We've talked about it a lot, but go ahead and do it upright, and then we'll play that, and I'll let you go.
Yeah, it's a really cool song. It definitely has a different groove than any of the other songs on the record. It's got sort of a, jug band vibe, string band vibe to it, real bouncy sort of bass line. Mm-hmm. And if you notice closely, if you listen closely, Roddy plays upright bass on most of the record. But on this track and one other, he plays the electric bass guitar, and kind of just gives him a little bit of room to be a little more creative, with his phrasing and such. So it kind of sets the tone. As a matter of fact, the banjo and the bass are the only kind of two things that kick off the song.
Yeah.
And it definitely has a cool vibe to it.
Chris
wrote this song.
I like it.
It's equal parts, tongue-in-cheek. and just, it's a fun song.
It's got starts off with real bouncy. I like the song. So we'll do that. We're going to play Alone and Insincere as Aaron has just described it. Say goodbye to Aaron, and we'll catch up again real soon before winter decides
thanks
to come
so
back and get us trapped and from an hour apart.
Yeah, we don't
want
to talk about the traffic.
No. We're going to do it while the sun's shining. All right, bud. Take care, Aaron. I appreciate you, Aaron Bibelhauser.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care, buddy.
Appreciate you.